Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful, you have no idea how deeply grateful I am that you chose to be with me on this 16th day of September 2018, and we're going to look at how to live, because people get angry at me because they think I'm telling them how to live. Ooh, boy, we're going to get into that today. I think you might find this one interesting. I want to remind you that this radio program and everything I do to serve your needs, your spiritual life, as it were, is made manifest here on Aspire and in this community and with radio and TV via your contributions. It is only, as you know, through your tax-deductible gift that we are able to continue and make these programs possible. And I certainly hope that you are enjoying the programs, that you find them helpful, and I hope that you will become a sponsor, because it is only through your sponsorship that I am able to make all of this available to you. It is something of a feat of magic, actually, based on a response, but I hope that you will help us. And our donor is doing his yearly, year-end donation drive with us, and he will match your sponsorship. So if you become a sponsor, he will match it. Let's say you do $25 a month, he will match that. He is hell-bent to help us, as he says, and I am very grateful for his support. So this would be a wonderful time for you to become a sponsor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see a little thing flash by about our year-end donations. You can click on that and become a sponsor right there. Take a look at the whole idea of why support Aspire. That might be helpful to you too, so you understand what your donations are doing and how much good they're doing, because they do a lot of good in this world. They really do, and a lot of people don't know how much good they do by being a sponsor, but boy, you do a lot of things. You help me go to hospice and do all the things I do to make, well, what I like to think of as love possible. How should a person live? How should we live? Now, that is an interesting idea, because for most people, it's lifestyle that they're talking about. How they live is the amount of money they have and the lifestyle they can afford. And that's pretty much as far as it goes with most of us. But of course, when you talk about life and living and all of that other wonderful stuff, I am always talking about something different than that, but people misunderstand, and here we go. The first question comes from Joanne in Kansas City, Missouri. Long ways away. I lived there for a couple of years while I was in seminary. Oy. Anyway, here's what she says. I listen to your radio programs from time to time. Who are you to tell us how to live? You have no biblical background, Joanne. Well, Joanne, I am not telling you how to live. I'm not a minister or a preacher that is trying to tell you how you should live in order to support my lifestyle, because that's what ministers are all about. You have no idea how difficult it is to live a minister's life, per se, and how easy it is when you use guilt and shame to extract money out of their wallets to appease their guilt and shame. So I don't go there. This is not what it's about. If you listen to more radio programs or you peruse the website, you will see this is about meditation. This is about building consciousness. This is about having insight, developing intuition. This is about looking at our life from another premise, another way. It is not about you getting a life that I think is suitable or biblical for you. I don't live in biblical times. I don't know about you. You might be living in biblical times somewhere on the universe, but I am not. I am living in this very, very painful and current genre of life that we call, what do we call this? The millennium. And I live with millennials too, all around me, everywhere I go. And so there is much more to all of this than might meet the eye. I don't mean to sound like at ever that I know it all, because I don't. I can only help you with your questions. I can only help you with what I have been able to live, what I have found about life. And that's all I really do, is just try to share that with you. It isn't a deal for me. It isn't something that I base my entire ability to teach from, my skill set. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with, yes, love. So what I'm trying to do is help you find the meaning of life through daily living in love. In other words, letting love live you. Now, I don't know what you call love, Joanne. I really don't. I don't know if your love is emotional. I would imagine it is by the question you've asked here. I imagine, and I could be wrong, you maybe are a bodhisattva, and I don't even know it. But by the sound of your question, the tone of your question, and your little email to me, it sounds to me like you're very emotional. And somehow, without me knowing it, without me ever meeting you, I have tripped a chord in you, making you maybe doubt a little bit about your life, maybe how you live, the way you live, and where you live from. If I have done that, I've done a very good job, because that's really all I'm trying to do, is trip that chord and maybe help you consider the idea, rather than being threatened by what I'm teaching, maybe consider the ideas I am teaching, of looking at things and going, maybe I should listen to this, even just for the fun of it. Maybe that would be a wonderful thing. Maybe it would be helpful to my life. You never know. You just don't know. I don't know. But whatever it is that I'm saying that tripped your chord, it's a good thing, and I hope that you will understand that that's a good thing, that maybe it will set you on another path to go another direction. I am here to provoke love in you. I'm here to provoke maybe insight, maybe even questioning the way you and I live our life. And I have found in my own livingness that the way I live has changed over the years, and it has nothing to do with the idea of, lifestyle in the form of changes that has to do with money or whatever is the source of your lifestyle. I think it's very important to see, what is the origins of my lifestyle? What is the origins of how I live? What are those origins? How do I live in those things? What defines a person's life and the way they're going to live their life? I find that fascinating. When I go to hospice and I sit there and I listen to stories, or I'm working with somebody in session, I love hearing what it is that they think makes their lifestyle happen. What is it that makes a person's lifestyle? What defines it? How are you as a person, Joanne, defining your own life, making your life whatever you think your life is currently? It's very important. If you understand just a little tiny bit of that, it will help you immensely. Help you immensely. But if you look at your life and think that it should be designed by, I don't know who, in some book that is very nebulous that you know nothing about. You don't know how the Bible was written, where it came from. You don't even know the people who are the characters in the Bible. And I don't ever understand how anyone can let their life be defined by their imaginary friends, which is exactly what this whole thing is about that you and I are talking about. I've just never quite understood that. Maybe you could send me an email and explain that one to me. I don't think I grasp that. Your lifestyle and mine, I'll tell you what it is. It is based in and predicated in karma. And if you don't know what karma is, there are plenty of definitions of it. It is what we have generated in our energies from past life experiences and how we have lived in those energies and how we have made them the pathway to this world, the pathway to every moment that occurs in our life. Now, for a lot of people, Joanne, this doesn't make any sense at all. And it bothers them, but people are looking for formulas. They're not looking for the truth. We don't want truth. We want a formula for living, a formula that tells us we're right, a formula that gets us what we want. And we think if we get that formula or someone gives us that formula, then we have done really good things with our life and yada-da, yada-da, yada-da. And that just it does not compute, both in me spiritually, meditatively, or I hate to say this to you, but even in my own logic and reasoning, I find that one hard to buy. But then you would find reincarnation hard to buy, and you wouldn't believe that your energies have anything to do with the pathway to this world and this life. And I understand all of that. I really do. So we're left in this place, Joanne, where it can only be a matter of consciousness, a matter of how far you've gone within yourself. And for people who are not really interested in consciousness or any part of it, the best they can do is look for a book or whatever, some methodology that allows them to live their life in accordance with a philosophy, a religion, a belief. And that's as far as that usually goes. And you could say the same of me if you wanted. And I could say the same of you if I wanted. And we could just sit here and go round and round and round like the snake eating its own tail. And why would we do that? What a waste of time that would be. So to each their own, as the old saying goes. And if your lifestyle is working for you and it's the thing you enjoy, seem to gravitate towards or seem to feel is true, then so be it. So be it. Who are you to tell us how to live? I am not telling you how to live, Joanne. And please, don't take my words and make them into something they're not. Sounds like to me you need a little action, a little fight here, a little confrontation. And I don't do that. So I answered your question because I thought there's probably hundreds of people out there thinking the same thing you are. Please forgive me, Joanne. Namaste. Boy, it's an interesting life when you are a teacher and out in the public. It really is. Next one comes from Kerry, and he lives in Los Angeles. I know Kerry. He chit-chats with me from time to time. Very sweet man. What is the, quote, end quote, right thing to do? How do we know what the right thing to do is in this world? Kerry. Again, here we are looking for a formula, okay? Looking for a formula that tells us if you do this and you do this, if you put the nickel in the machine and you turn it to the left, you'll get this bubble gum. If you turn it to the left, you'll get the candy corn. Everybody is looking for a formula. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no formula here, okay? You have to understand that. There is no formula. I know you want one, but there isn't one. There is something called love. And if you want to call that a formula and you want to think of it as a formula, then okay, I'm all right with that. But it really isn't. We live from energies, Carrie. And the energies that we live from, come through us and out of us, and they go into the world and they formulate life experiences. There is no such thing as life bestowing upon you some event or circumstance that you and I were not involved in one way or another, long time ago or currently in this world. We set the stage for everything. We make the path for everything. So life is just mirroring, in my case, Greg, and mirroring, in your case, Carrie. That's it. So you can't blame life. So if you're looking at life as something separate from yourself, then you're already behind the eight ball. You're already sunk. Because life is not a matter of being in a place where someone is in charge, like what you would think of as God, and you must pleasure God or please God in order to get what you want. It's just, it's so immature, so emotionally driven and immature that I can't even get to that and even think about that in any way, shape, or form that's intelligent. You have to come to a place somewhere inside yourself, Carrie, where you're not looking for self-righteousness. You're looking for the awakening, the attainment to love. Because that's what this whole thing is about, love. In every creative thing that you see on this planet, in every creativity that you see on this earth, it is love that has driven that creativity into manifestation through people who were open to it. And these people will tell you they don't know. I've talked to them all of my life, creative artists. I have lots of artists in my group. I mean, these people are artists. They are really good. And they will tell you, I have no idea where it comes from. I just follow it. And if you are just following it, if you are just going into the path of it, and you are sustaining it with your attention and your humility, those two things, your attention and your humility, you will find that this creativity grows and grows and grows. And it's an amazing thing. It just is amazing. You will find insight, compassion, and love pouring out of you that had nothing to do with the Carrie, or nothing in my case to do with the Greg. These things are just pouring out of you. And you begin to really realize that you are a vehicle for love. You are a vehicle for creativity. That's it. You are a vehicle for life. It isn't a matter of what's right. When you are in love, when you are driven by love rather than DNA and genetics, which is what most of us are driven by, we are driven to survive, you take on a different inner posture. You have a different life. You look at life from a different point of view, and you are no longer held hostage by your body, which is constantly wanting to be pleasured and preened and adored and touched and aggrandized. You won't be looking for all of that anymore. Instead, you'll be looking at life from the point of view of a state of consciousness that is love. And you will realize this whole thing is so blooming beautiful. It is. And in that beauty, and in recognizing that beauty, you will take on a new life. You will take on the measure of your heart. And that heart energy will come to you in many different forms. And then you will learn, it is only in my humility, only in my humility, that I have the meekness to understand what it means to be pure in heart. Now, right there, I gave you three Beatitudes. And Carrie, I would urge you to go to the website at aspire.org and go take a look at the Aspire TV under the Beatitudes and watch them, listen to them. You can become a sponsor and you get the CDs that went along with that series for free. Or if you don't choose to do that, you can purchase the CDs and sit there and listen to them. No greater teaching has there ever been than the Beatitudes. No greater. Dhammapada, same way. Those were the teachings of Buddha that were like the Eightfold Path and the Dhammapada with all of its beautiful insights. Oh, God, they're beautiful. That was Buddha's Beatitudes, as it were. Each teacher has their own way of disseminating the truth to us. But go take a look. I think you will find it extremely meaningful. And if you have a sincere sense of yourself and a heart that is willing beyond your human heart, which you do have that kind of heart because everybody does, you will find exactly what I'm talking about and the meaning of what it is to find humility, meekness, and the pure in heart. Those three things are the way to know what is what you call right. I hope that helps you, Carrie. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Craig in San Diego. What is left of our life after 40? I don't know what to do, Craig. Party on, Craig. Party on. No. Don't listen to him. What do you mean, what's left of your life? If this were the last moment of your life, what would you do with it? What do you mean, what is left? You're talking about years. I'm talking about your ability. By 40 years old, I think that most people are pretty cooked. In this day and age, by 6 years old, you're pretty cooked. But let's say 40 years old, you're pretty set in your ways. You pretty much know what you want to do, what you don't want to do, what you think is important, what you don't think is important. Your priorities are already set. So what do you mean? You would have to tear apart, frankly speaking, oh boy, here I go again. You'd have to tear apart your entire life and start all over again. And if you don't have that willingness, and I'm not talking about your worldly life, but it might include things in there, but I'm talking about the things you believe in, the things you want, the things you think are right, the things you think are wrong, how you judge according to appearances, anything. What is the source of your judgments? What is the source of deriving some kind of meaning out of this experience that you and I call our life? You'd have to really delve into all of that. And most people aren't going to do that because they're too busy watching TV, or they're too busy arguing with their mate or raising their children or whatever. It's just too busy for all of this. So there you are. I mean, that's just the way it is. So you need to understand something, dear heart. At 40, you're getting the ding, 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 the little bell. And the bell is saying, well, here you are at 40. Don't know how much longer you have in the body, but here you are at 40. What are you doing? What has been your life? Take a look. Look at your body. Look at your livingness, how you live inside your body. That's what most people are more prone to. They're not prone to living from the heart. They're not living intelligently. They're not living from consciousness. And God forbid they would never do any self-examination, because to do that could be ridiculing. It could be awful for the average person. You need to see your bigger picture here, dude, and what it is that manifests through you based on your source. Where do you live? What source do you live by? And I will bet you dimes to dollars the source you live by is your genetics. And if that is the truth, which I probably think is pretty accurate, then you understand that there is a great deal of limitation in all of this, and you're not going to be a conscious liver. You're going to liver. Ugh. Did you ever eat that? Anyway, that's my answer. I got to go. I'm running out of time. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Okay, I did it. I made it in time. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for this weekend. I hope you will make a donation and become a sponsor, or at least make a year-end donation and help support Aspire. Have a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.